Good morning, everybody. Thank you, worship team, and thank you, Ken. If you had a sermon in you, I should have just booked you. You were close. This morning's sermon is titled Sober-Minded, Cultivating Clarity in a Chaotic World. I need a little help today, for sure, so I'm going to start with prayer right off the bat. Dear God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for how you are strong when we are weak. I thank you for how you speak when we don't know what to say. And I thank you for what you've given me to speak this morning, and I pray that you would use your Holy Spirit to bring the truths that need to be heard and landed in each heart, that they'd be able to find a place to do your work. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you hear the words sober-minded, what is the first thing that comes to mind? For many, it is the idea of abstaining from alcohol, or more accurately, refraining from drunkenness. We often associate sobriety with being free from the haze of inebriation, but let's not limit ourselves to this narrow view. Recently, I have been introduced to my own limitations on this phrase and found that it had a much greater depth to explore. Well, sobriety, particularly in the context of abstaining from alcohol, is definitely a biblical principle, especially in regards to drunkenness. It is imperative to grasp that it carries a deeper and broader significance. Sobriety extends beyond the avoidance of being physically intoxicated. It encompasses not only what we ingest into our bodies, but what we permit into our souls and our spirits, potentially clouding our discernment and obstructing our ability to perceive the truth. When it is unveiled to us through the Holy Spirit, this in turn profoundly influences our thought processes and how we navigate life's intricate challenges. We are susceptible to a myriad of intoxicants that insufficient dosage can cloud our judgment and distort our perceptions. It is not just about alcohol. It's the intoxication of fear that paralyzes us, the intoxication of anger that blinds us, the intoxication of worry that cripples us, the intoxication of distraction that veers us off course. In a world filled with constant noise, information overload, and emotional turbulence, the need for sobriety of mind is more profound than ever. It is about having a clear head and sound judgment in the face of chaos and uncertainty. Today we dive into the concept of sober-mindedness, exploring what the Bible says about having a clear, undistorted perspective. As we go into the scriptures, we'll discover that being sober-minded is not just a call to abstain from destructive influences, but a call to cultivate a soul and spirit that agrees with our wise and sovereign God and seeing ourselves as He sees us. In pursuit of this concept and seeking to do it while maintaining contextual integrity, we're going to go through various scripture passages. The aim is to avoid the common pitfall of cherry-picking just one isolated verse and instead select the passage itself and sections that provide a more comprehensive understanding of today's topic. However, this approach does introduce some complexity as we are reading multiple verses while attempting to maintain a topical focus. As such, we will try not to get distracted by every possible topic introduced by the passage, but we are aiming to ensure that each verse is explained within its context while keeping an eye on our central theme. Let's go into our first passage. 1 Peter 5, 5 to 9. Younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in the faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished among your brethren who are in the world. Let's start at verse 5. This begins the stage for the discussion. As it talks about younger men being subject to elders, and then it says, all of you be clothed with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Peter points out these virtues of humility and submission right from the start. And younger members are to show respect and deference to their elders, cultivating an environment of humility under God. This essential foundation lays the groundwork for what it means to be sober-minded. If we go on to verse 7, it points at this great invitation, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. There is a powerful connection between humility, trust, and our journey towards sober-mindedness. Embracing humility allows us to acknowledge our limitations and our profound need to lean on God's care. When we cast our worries upon him, we adopt a sober-minded approach to the challenges that life may throw our way. If we go on to verse 8, Peter encouraged us to be sober of spirit and be watchful. What does this mean in the midst of trials and tribulations? First, Peter paints a picture of our spiritual journey as a battlefield, with our adversary being the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion, trying to devour us. This metaphor mirrors the challenges we encounter, temptations, persecutions, and discouragements. To be sober-minded in such circumstances signifies possessing a clear and undistorted perspective, firmly rooted in faith and trust in God's promises. It is the opposite of being intoxicated by fear, anger, worry, or distraction. Peter further counsels in verse 9 on how to live out this sober-mindedness. He calls us to resist him, the devil, steadfast in the faith. The key to resist the adversary who seeks to disrupt our clarity and faith is to remain firmly grounded in the truth. We are always looking to our Heavenly Father to readjust our views and perspectives. Truth is always the truth, but our understanding of it gets to change over time. And so God brings us to new understanding as we lean into and seek him. And it seems that certain trials in life, certain things that may wake us up, they may tear us down, but the truth becomes more and more real and more precious. As we lean on him, and the value of what he says and what he gives to us, that value all of a sudden has it has real meaning. Sorry, I kind of have had 3 days of a migraine headache. And it just makes me kind of it makes me weak, and I know where strength is. So we can see that in 1 Peter 5:8, approaching trials with a clear and undistorted perspective, rooted in humility and trust, and that we find the antithesis of being intoxicated. The anxieties of this world cannot tear us down. as we cast our cares upon God. Our faith in Him is the most real and the most required when nothing else is working. So adversary and pain and suffering, it breaks us down, but it shows what's real. If our God is only good when it's sunny out, I don't think that's much value. But we know that our God is good, even when we're torn down. And so we can lean into Him, and I've found that He is the most real when I am the most weary. Let's go on to 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 to 11. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we, whether we are awake or asleep, will live together with Him. Therefore, comfort one another and build up one another, just as you are doing. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 to 11, Paul starts off with this concept of being spiritually awake versus spiritually asleep. He highlights the fact that most of mankind is spiritually asleep, spiritually unaware. Matthew Henry's commentary of this passage makes this statement: most of mankind do not consider the things of another world at all because they are asleep, nor do they consider them clearly because they sleep and dream. This is a sobering picture of the world around us, where many people go about their lives without considering the eternal truths and the spiritual realities that should shape our perspectives. As Christians, we are called to a different standard. We have been entrusted with the light of the gospel, which shines brightly, illuminating the path to eternal life. In this context, the call to be sober-minded becomes increasingly critical. We are to exercise moderation in our approach to all earthly matters, knowing that our true citizenship lies in the kingdom of God. Paul skillfully draws a parallel between being spiritually awake and the concept of sober-mindedness. Within this awakening, faith in God serves as an essential foundation. When we hold firm to the belief that God's watchful gaze is ever upon us and that we are preparing for another world beyond this one, it provides us with a compelling reason to remain vigilant and to maintain a sober perspective. This awakening of faith acts as a catalyst, rousing us from spiritual slumber and motivating us to engage deeply with eternal truths. It is crucial to note that this isn't merely a mindset focused on escaping the trials of earthly life or seeking refuge from its hardship. Rather, it embodies an eternal perspective akin to Paul's own. It's about recognizing that while we await our heavenly home in God's perfect timing, our earthly existence holds significance. It prompts us to live with purpose, investing our lives in values that extend far beyond the confines of our short time on this planet. It is a way of living on earth with a full awareness that heaven awaits us. Furthermore, Paul highlights the pivotal role of love in maintaining our watchfulness and sober-mindedness. A genuine and fervent love for God and the things of God act as a safeguard against the intoxicating distractions prevalent in the world. Like Ken was pointing out, if we have a relationship with God that is real and valuable, sin has less root that has less places to dig into. And so when we have that amazing love with God and we have a relationship with Him that is real and worth something, we value it more than the pull of sin. And the lies of sin are more obvious if the truth is right beside them. Hope, the third piece of the spiritual armor, plays a vital role in our call to be sober-minded. Our hope of salvation is our anchor, and we are urged to guard against anything that could shake our trust in the Lord. This hope is grounded in the saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who willingly gave his life to atone for our sins and to ransom our souls. So we can see from this passage that to be sober-minded isn't just about abstaining from worldly distractions. It is about being spiritually awake and alert. It is about putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of salvation, which protects our minds from the intoxication of this world and keeps our focus on the eternal truths of our faith. Let's go on to one more here, Romans 12:3-8. For through the grace given to me, I say to each one among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound thinking. In some versions, think soberly, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. But having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, whether prophecy, in agreement with the faith, or service, in his serving, or he who teaches, in his teaching, or he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who gives with generosity, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We can see in this passage that Paul provides guidance on the importance of sober judgment and humility within the body of Christ. He begins by emphasizing the need for each one to not think of themselves more highly than they ought. Once again, this call to humility is rooted in recognizing our true standing before God and others. Instead of being consumed by pride, we are encouraged to think with sober judgment, acknowledging our limitations and the source of our abilities, God Himself. Paul's analogy of this body beautifully illustrates the concept of humility and interdependence among believers. We are a body of many members with distinct functions, and so we are in Christ. We are all interconnected, and this understanding is crucial to maintaining a humble and sober-minded perspective. Furthermore, Paul highlights the diversity of spiritual gifts within the body, emphasizing that these gifts are distributed according to God's grace. The caution to sobriety here is that we should not underestimate or overestimate our gifts, but recognize them with sober judgment. This means neither boasting in our abilities nor neglecting to utilize them for the benefit of others. We mustn't say, I am nothing, so I will do nothing, but rather, I am nothing in myself, but I will wholeheartedly invest my God-given gifts for His glory. The ultimate aim is not personal recognition or gain, but to benefit the entire body and to bring glory to God, both in this world and the one to come. Therefore, we are called to employ our gifts humbly, diligently, and cheerfully, always seeking the good of many. This mindset guards us against the trap of pride and self-centeredness, fostering a spirit of unity, humility, and mutual support within the body of Christ. Let's go on to 1 Peter 1:13-16. Therefore, having geared your minds for action, being sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not being conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, also in all your conduct, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Here we are presented with a powerful call to prepare our minds for action and to be completely sober in spirit. This call to sobriety encompasses several essential aspects: steadfastness, self-discipline, spiritual and moral alertness. It is a call to be spiritually and mentally vigilant, avoiding distractions and temptations that may hinder our walk with God. The Apostle Paul emphasizes the importance of fixing our hope entirely on the grace that will be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. This hope serves as our anchor, keeping our focus on the ultimate goal of our faith. As obedient children of God, we are urged not to conform to the evil desires of this world. We are to embrace the transforming power of the gospel. We were once ensnared by worldly desires and sinful intoxications, but our identity has changed, and we are called to live in accordance with our new nature. Peter's emphasis on holiness is significant. He quotes the mandate, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." This command calls us not only to be sober-minded, but also to pursue holiness in every facet of our conduct. It is crucial to realize that our holiness stems from God's holiness. We can only be holy because He is holy. This sets us apart from the world, for we are made holy in Him. Moreover, sobriety in thought and deed means seeing and walking in the clarity of that truth, unobscured by the fog of lies that Satan attempts to cast over us. It's about understanding our identity as forgiven and redeemed through the work of Christ on the cross. This profound truth empowers us to resist the adversary's deceptions and live in the freedom and holiness that God calls us to embody. To be sober-minded and holy requires a strong and steadfast trust in the grace of God. It is our surrender that results in holy lives, not our striving. We must always rely on His grace and guidance. This trust in God's grace harmonizes with our diligent surrender to live in obedience to His commands. Through God's saving work, He makes us holy as we continue to seek His transformative power in our lives. In conclusion, the call to be sober-minded is one that encompasses both our mental and spiritual well-being. It goes beyond refraining from worldly intoxicants. It is about how we navigate the complexities of life with clear, undistorted perspectives. We live in a world filled with distractions, anxieties, and temptation. It is easy to become intoxicated by fear, anger, worry, or pride. Through our explorations of the passages of Scripture, we can summarize the following. In 1 Peter 5, 5-9, we learn the significance of humility, trust, and faith in resisting the adversary who seeks to devour us. As we cast our anxieties upon God, we embrace a sober-minded approach to life's challenges. In 1 Thessalonians 5:6-11, we are reminded of the contrast between those who are spiritually awake and those who remain asleep to eternal truths. Sobriety of mind is tied to faith, love, and hope as we seek to live out our Christian walk in our church community and in the world at large, setting examples for one another. Romans 12, 3-8 emphasizes the humility and sober judgment required within the body of Christ. Each member, gifted differently, must recognize their role within the larger body and employ their gifts for His glory. This attitude of humility safeguards against pride and self-centeredness. And lastly, in 1 Peter 1, 13-16, we are called to prepare our minds for action and to be completely sober in spirit. This sobriety involves fixing our hope on God's grace and embracing holiness in every aspect of our lives. We must cast our anxieties upon Him, trusting in His care. It begins with acknowledging our need for God's grace and humbling ourselves before Him, but also realizing where we fail to see ourselves as He does And ultimately, we let God's perspective shape our view of ourselves and those around us, making it the standard by which we operate. I would like to close with this challenge. In a world intoxicated by distractions and anxieties, we may be known as a people, may we be known as a people who walk in sobriety of mind, firmly anchored in our faith, and steadfastly pursuing holiness. Let us navigate life's challenges with clear heads and hearts, for we are citizens of a heavenly kingdom, and our ultimate hope is securely anchored in Christ and who we are in Him. Let's close. Dear God, I thank you for the word. Thank you for how amazing it is as we dig through it. And as I go through these passages and just focus on one concept, there's so many more all around it. And I just appreciate how you let us study your word and you teach us through it. I pray, God, as we're so easily deceived, we're so easily blind to things in our lives, may we have sobriety of mind to be able to see things clearly, not be fearful. Sometimes we hide from things because we're scared from them, and we tell ourselves lies to protect ourselves. God, we can trust you. You can help us through these things. We can face them without fear, knowing that we are forgiven and that you want the best for us and you are helping us take the things in life that are hard, that are difficult. I just pray, God, that we can live with open hands, not grasping too strongly, but opening our life to you in a way that allows you to guide us and allows us to have the peace that comes from trusting in you and giving you all of our cares and anxieties. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.